Animal Central on cliffcentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Sharon Dale. I'm going to be your host for the next hour. We're going to talk about all things animal and animal related. Those of you who have been regular listeners, you know that the show's all about every animal, from rhinoceroses through to fish, through to snakes, dogs, the whole trip. I am the editor and publisher of Canine Zone magazine, and which obviously focuses on dogs. And I just wanted to touch on a few wonderful news stories that happened this week. You know, there's so much negativity that goes on in our society at the moment, especially in terms of animals with, you know, abuse and abandonment and all that kind of thing. But, you know, I've noticed of late that so many companies are actually standing up and making a difference. Some of them are pet companies or who provide pet food, and some of them are not pet related at all. And something that came up this morning that really just gladdened my heart is a couple of weeks ago we had Charmaine Boyson in studio from The Ninth Day. Now, those who know and who follow our Canine Zone Facebook page, you will know that The Ninth Day is the rescue organization that's looking after Bismarck, which is the fighting dog that was found abandoned with horrific injuries on the side of the road. Now, the sad part is that The Ninth Day has over 100 dogs in their care, but they had to leave their property. In fact, they had, I think it's till the end of this week to leave their property, and they were desperate for funds to build kennels, to have a place to transport and to put these dogs into nice, comfortable kennels. And they put the word out on Facebook, and so many people got involved and donated. Some donated 20 rand, some donated 5,000 rand, but they were still short. And this morning, they made the announcement that they got 50,000 rand donated to them from the Dis-Chem Foundation, which was facilitated to one of our colleagues through John Robbie from 702. But that 50,000 rand is going to go a long way, and it just really gladdens my heart that people are stepping up and helping, because these people don't get funds from anywhere else. They literally have to self-fund, which comes through your donations of food or money, your time that you go and bath, wash, you know, walk around with these dogs, help to tick and de-tick and flee them. Then the other company that's doing a lot right now is Supreme Pet, because they say their slogan is, "We believe that every day is charity day." And if you go onto the Supreme Pet Facebook wall, he has an easy way to give back. You simply go onto their Facebook wall, you will see the notification there, and you simply vote for your favorite charity. So you will put down their Pug Rescue or Husky Rescue, whoever your favorite charity is, and they will donate food to that shelter, which is fantastic. I've seen the amount of food they've donated in the past, and it's a lot, I tell you what. And with the festive season coming up, please remember that these shelters are under serious pressure. People abandon their dogs. People decide that it's the time they're going on holiday. They don't want their pets anymore. So what do? They hand them into a shelter and pass them on. And they become just so overbooked and desperately need food, desperately need help with veterinary bills. So I think this year, instead of spending so much money on Christmas gifts that maybe the kids look at for a couple of days and then they're gone, dig in, look in your wallet. I'm sure you can find even 20 rand that you can donate to, and it'll make you feel so much better because you know that you are actually doing something. Now, leading on from that, we are going to be talking this morning to Mr. Tozi Zokufa. Now, Tozi is the program manager for the Humane Society International, and he's going to be telling us about their recently launched Green Monday, which is a global movement aimed at improving to improve public awareness and to educate people, certainly consumers, about the realities of animal agriculture, and also trying to encourage us to get on board, make a pledge to replace meat, eggs, milk, any animal products on Mondays. Now, I want to find out a little bit more from Tozi, and then after which we're going to speak to wonderful actress and beautiful model Angie Woodley, who's in studio with me, and she's going to tell us how she's involved in this campaign. Tozi, are you there? He's not there yet. Okay, they're trying to get Tozi on the line for us, so we'll start off with you, Angie. Won't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in this campaign?
Well, I've always been someone who's been involved in health and and animals and bettering the environment. So I really jumped to this opportunity to be a part of this campaign. And I really think that now is the time for the world and for people to become more aware of what is going on, how their lifestyles impact the environment around them. And just listening to what you were saying earlier about the animal shelters and all of that, you know, I think it's so important to really concentrate on things that you do and what you eat and, you know, where you go and how that affects other things around you, not just yourself.
It does. It has an impact on everything.
Sure.
So definitely does. But Angie, you were telling me earlier on that you yourself have so many pets. You are an animal lover.
Absolutely. I mean, I grew up on a plot. Yes. And so we have, I own three of my own dogs, and then my fiance and I own at our other place about five dogs, as well as ponds full of fish and birds and an aviary. And on the plot, we have monkeys that come around. And
oh, wonderful.
Spotted the odd porcupine and jackal.
And you're saying that's in Chartwell, so that's still fairly undeveloped at the moment.
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, with all the development happening around us, I grew up being able to find a chameleon in literally every bush that I picked, and hedgehogs everywhere. Yes. And even though we haven't developed our area, and Chartwell has recently become a sort of conservation project, and they're not allowing people to build around that area, which is great in terms of preserving animals and the nature around us.
That's wonderful. I didn't know that. So you can't build there now.
Yeah, but unfortunately, even though surrounding areas have been built up, we haven't seen any chameleons or porcupines like that recently.
That's always so sad. It is. Human beings really do, you know, everything that you say we do, we leave a footprint, and that footprint can be a good footprint or it can damage our environment and our animals.
Yeah.
But I think we've got Torsi on the line now. Torsi, are you there?
I'm here, Sharon.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Very well yourself. Thank you so much for taking time out to join us this morning. Are you based in Cape Town, Torsi?
I'm based in Cape Town, Sharon. You're lucky. Thank you for having me. And I'm so jealous of Angie now.
Actually, I'm jealous of you, Torsi. Cape Town is my place. I wish I was there with you. Next time, Cliff Central will have to fly me down to come interview you in person. Torsi, now tell us a little bit about, I first wanted to find out, the Humane Society International. What is that?
Humane Society International is the international arm of the Humane Society of the United States. And we are based in Washington, D.C. And, of course, I'm here in South Africa representing the Farm Animal Department. But we're working with all animals in more than 20 countries now all over the world, Sharon. And we exist to eliminate cruelty meted against animals, you know, all animals all over the world.
Yes. Torsi, that's fantastic. You know what, to be honest with you, I didn't know that there was a division in South Africa. When did you open shop in South Africa?
Well, we're here now for about 18 months to 2 years, and we were really, you know, liaising with your retailers and your advocacy work at a departmental level and national level and so on. But many people don't know as well that I have a colleague, Odds, who's based in Makalali Lodge in the Limpopo province. We've been doing elephant contraception there for the past 15 years. Can you believe it?
Really? Because I was going to ask you, the next question was going to be, is what do you actually do? You say all animals. So does that range from our dogs and cats through to our rhinos?
Yes, but at this stage, Sharon, we in South Africa, we are only focusing on elephant wildlife and also farm animals. Those are the two departments or two divisions that we are focusing on now. But of course, we are looking forward to opening up an office, hopefully here in Cape Town, and having all other departments, your cats and dogs, you know, and humane education and so on.
Oh, Torsi, that would be fantastic, because, you know, I do follow what the Humane Society does overseas, and they do so much. I saw a video a couple of weeks ago of them going into areas in China and releasing all these dogs from cages that were there to be used for meat, you know. And I watched this video. It was amazing. And I thought at the time, I wish we had a branch here. And now you're telling me we have, which is great news.
It's coming, it's coming, Cheryl.
That's fantastic. Tuzi, now, before we get on to Green Monday, I want to find out more about Humane Society. Now, how do you work closely with government? Because, you know, I know that our cruelty laws are very old and they're really not great. Do you work with government to try and, you know, I think those laws were established in the 1960s and they really need to be looked at.
Definitely. You know, to just paint a picture of the question that you're posing, Sharon, just yesterday we've sent government an invite to maybe for one colleague or two colleagues to go to Duke University in the US, because there will be a conference there on antibiotics, you know, the use of antibiotics
yes.
on animals. So we've met with them last week as well. In a nutshell, I would say we are working very closely with government, but we'll definitely want to maximize on that and harness on that relationship and make changes, you know, at legislation level.
Right.
And of course, other organizations are working with the government as well. And it was good to hear that we are definitely going in towards the right direction. Might take time, but yes, the idea is there, and we're working very closely with the government.
Oh, Tuzi, that is such great news. Now let's move on to Green Monday. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, Green Monday, you know, it all started in Hong Kong, and with an organization which is an NGO and has also a for-profit side of things in it. And we loved the idea when we saw it, Sharon, because it was not specifically, you know, asking people to give up on something.
Yes.
It's a concept that includes all stakeholders. You know, even farmers themselves can embark on this movement and join Green Monday.
Right.
It is an easy, fun way, and it's very flexible. It's a fun way to sort of make a positive difference.
Yes.
You know, eating and serving plant-based meals on Mondays and cutting down on food waste, helping animals, and also, you know, helping one's health,
yes.
as we've recently heard now. I mean, it's all over the news, whether you are watching or listening or reading.
Yes.
You know that the World Health Organization study that found, you know, that processed meats and maybe some red meat as well could be carcinogenic.
Absolutely.
So this campaign just came in at the right time as well to say, look, we have a solution. If you can cut down on your consumption,
yes.
and join us on Green Mondays, maybe you will be able to reverse, you know, the carcinogenic effect of the processed meat and red meats. Yeah,
absolutely. Because I think, you see, being a vegetarian myself, I don't do it for health reasons, because I eat a lot of rubbish that's not plant animal based. But I do it because I can't bear the thought of eating a pig. I can't bear the thought of eating a little baby cow with batting eyelashes. I just can't do that. But there's a lot of health benefits, Tuzi, as you say, because I know there's been a lot written about it, and you were mentioning earlier antibiotics that are used in these animals that end up on our plates, which is not good for us.
Oh, yes, definitely. And studies have shown time and time again that, you know, eating plant-based diet tend to lower the risk of heart diseases,
right.
Type 2 diabetes, you know, and some cancers. So indeed, there's a health benefit, there's an environmental benefit, because we know that animal agriculture itself has a negative impact on the environment, on climate change,
right.
water usage, you know, and all of those, and soil degradation as well. So definitely, it's not only about the animals, but it has this holistic, you know, advantage if we were to go plant-based and eat less of and reduce our meat intake, Sharon.
Absolutely. And you say climate change. Am I right in saying, I think I read somewhere that the cattle release a methane gas into the atmosphere?
Yeah. That's correct. And it depends which study you look at, but it's anything. The materials that we've read, it's anything from 10% right through to 51% of the impact of animal agriculture on the greenhouse gas emission on the environment. That is a huge impact. And you find people who say that I'm an environmental steward, and I take only showers, I don't take a bath, I ride a bike to work, or I carpool, I take a train.
Yes. Tozi, are you there? I think we've lost Tozi for a second while we try and get him back on the line. Angie, I'm just going to go back to you quickly and everything that Tozi's been telling us. Is this something that you also look at? Are you vegetarian or partially vegetarian?
I actually grew up as a vegetarian. My parents raised me from when I was born as a vegetarian. And we then slowly started to introduce meats, but I've never really been a huge meat eater anyway. I probably eat roughly 3 to 4 vegetarian meals in a week or per day. Over meat, that's just my own my own preference, really, in terms of taste, because I can feel that my body doesn't always feels like it's heavy.
Yes,
with more meat that I eat. But yes, as Tozi was saying, apart from that, back in the day when you could eat meat that wasn't laced with antibiotics and hormones, it was a different story. Now it is like that.
Right.
So when people have illnesses, they should also look at what type of meats they're eating, yes, where they're getting it from.
Exactly.
With Green Monday, we're not saying that everyone must be vegetarians all day, every day. It's just one day of the week, choose to be a vegetarian. Have for breakfast, have your muesli, and then, salad.
Absolutely. And it's not difficult to do.
No, it's not.
If you look at one of the other magazines that I do is for people with diabetes, and I work a lot with recipes, and it's so easy and much cheaper, much cheaper. If you look at the price of meat and fish and chicken right now, I don't know how people actually afford to eat it, to be honest.
I think it's a mindset that also changes with that, and once you start creating on it, your imagination in terms of creating new recipes without meat becomes, it's like the Banting diet, when you would think, we can't make anything without carbs, and then you start...
I can understand with people with vegetarianism, because that's me and carbs. I have this love affair with carbs. In fact, we had a box of there's a box of donuts sitting on the table in reception here, and Angie and I were both looking at it with big eyes.
Yeah, it's quite
it looks delectable. Now, have we got Tozi back on the line? Tozi, are you there?
I'm still here.
So we thought you'd gone to the beach for a bit. Tozi, now I just want to go back to, the climate change. Let's first go back to antibiotics. Why are we injecting our cattle and sheep and these agricultural animals with antibiotics?
You know, there's a simple reason, Sharon. It's because they cannot express normal behavior, and the conditions that they are kept in, they are in cramped, crowded factory farms. And in order for them to maintain a healthy a body and a healthy livelihood in those conditions, you have to lace them, frequently with antibiotics to prevent any diseases coming in, because they will definitely do come in. So to prevent that happening, you then administer antibiotics routinely. And this is the topic now everywhere, that scientists are looking at it, and then doctors are also not happy. And we really need to look at how we administer antibiotics, or else what will happen then is that when we get sick, in turn, it means that these antibiotics won't be working anymore, because we're constantly getting them through meat.
Exactly. That is very scary. And you're quite right. Doctors, a lot of doctors, you come in with anything and they give you antibiotics. And then you're also taking it in from the meat you eat. And then a lot has been said about the super, the super bug, that one of these days antibiotics won't work on us anymore.
So true. That's so true. That's the scary part. So if we were, for example, if we were to reduce our meat intake or eliminate it, or eggs or dairy and so on, fewer animals, then it means they will, fewer animals will suffer in these cruel confinement factory farms. And then what will happen, most probably, they'll spread out, and then therefore there will be less animals kept under these conditions.
Right. Because, you know, like Angie was saying, when we lost you for a second, it's not like the old days, you know, when we knew where these products came from. The animals were kept much more humanely. I also wanted to ask you, I've heard a lot said about these animals also being injected with steroids to you know, for growth. Is that true?
Well, they call it growth hormones.
Yes.
Some will call it steroids. That's a standard practice, Sharon. It's you know, if you can look at the chicken of 1960 and how long it took to get to 2 kilograms, and you look at the chicken of today, which takes about 38 days or 40 days to get to 2 kilograms, it's a scary. I mean, we are breeding them really to grow quickly, so
yes,
that they can get into our tables.
Right. I mean, that's just shocking to think about that. So we're taking in antibiotics and we're taking in growth hormones, which is really, really, I don't know, that does scare me. But the other thing, I saw something posted. I'm a social media junkie and I always follow the news. And they were saying that in recent years, a lot more people are actually looking at this and saying, okay, we're going to become vegetarian or partially vegetarian. And they've estimated that already in a year, I don't know if these figures are right, they said about 600,000 less cattle were slaughtered. Wow. Just because people are being more conscious.
I could easily believe that. In fact, I'm not sure if 600,000 is it worldwide, Sharon.
I think it was the USA. I think this was based in the USA.
It does make sense, and I'm sure if we were reading the same document as well, they even said if you were to include chickens and every other species, whether it's aquatic animals or land animals, but that figure I think has risen to about 40 million animals were saved last year alone, you know, with regards to that. So people are becoming conscious. They are becoming aware of what is happening out there, and then they know that it's not only for their health, but it's also for environmental health, and it's also for the sake of these animals as well. Yeah,
that's right, because there's three ways in which you're helping. Firstly, you're looking after your own body and your own health. Secondly, you're looking after the environment, and thirdly, you are helping to stop these inhumane practices of battery chicken farming and all the other horrible things that go on in abattoirs.
That's so true, and that's why now you're finding that big retailers, your McDonald's and Subways and all these Chipotles, all these big retailers now are saying that, and I'm glad here at home as well. You know, when we were traveling around the country with my director of farm animals, we stopped at every town, and even if it's a little town, you sit in for lunch or dinner,
yes,
and there is a vegetarian or a vegan option,
right,
in all the menus. And she was also so impressed that in every restaurant that we even the mainstream one, I mean the ones that generally 90% will serve meat, but they had one or two items,
yes,
that will be vegetarian or vegan. So I mean, we're not there yet, but there is this greater awareness that is being created, and
yes,
definitely we are moving towards the right direction. I must say it's not all gloomy, but it will take baby steps, I guess.
No, sure, and I think you're quite right. Education is always the key. You know, people sort of live their lives and they don't really know what they're putting in their mouths, and education is so important. So how does this whole campaign work? I see you pledge to be part of it on, I think your website is www.greenmonday.co.za. Is that, how does this work?
That's correct. You go to www.greenmonday.co.za. You take a pledge, but then once you've taken that pledge, we'll have your email address, and then frequently we'll be sending you fun, easy to make recipes, plant-based recipes on a weekly basis. We'll update you what we are doing, where we are, because the other thing, Sharon, that we do not want to do is to make this movement an elitist movement.
Absolutely.
We want to go to townships, whether in Soweto, in Khayelitsha, in Guguletu, you know, everywhere in the country, and teach our women and men who are at home, you know, cooking skills with what they have. If they have a butternut, a sweet potato, a mushroom, and maybe spinach.
Yes.
Teach them how to make these foods, which are readily available, nice to eat and enjoyable to eat.
And much cheaper. Tozi, much cheaper. I was saying earlier, you can make such delicious meals. You're quite right, at low cost. As I said, we don't eat meat in our home. We go to Fruit and Veg City, and we go it doesn't cost us hardly anything to pick up pockets of potatoes and, as you said, spinach and all this sort of thing. And you can make delicious meals. I think people just need, as you said, you're going to send out recipes, because a lot of people would think, oh, boring, you know, to cut out the meat. But you can eat delicious meals without animal products in that meal.
Yes. Definitely. And then, of course, on facebook.com/GreenMondaySA and on Twitter @GreenMondaySA, they can follow us, and we'll be calling out for volunteers as well. I mean, they can educate themselves. They can spread the word. They can research some more to make informed decision. We'll be sending information out on a weekly basis.
That's,
you know, keeping
wonderful.
Them abreast of how the movement is going,
yes,
where we are headed, and how it is received in different parts of the country.
And then would you also maybe give tips, how to grow your own vegetables?
Well, we have different partners. If you go on our website, you see our different partners. Not only we will advise on how to grow your own vegetables and herbs, but we will even take it further and probably teach you how to make, you know, something like a vegan burger or a fish. You know, a fish burger, which is not fish. We will send out those tips.
It's amazing what you can do. I know we eat a lot of soya products, and that new product that's in South Africa now, I think it's called corn, which is amazing. If you make a spaghetti bolognese with that mince, it tastes exactly like beef mince. There's no difference.
And much
healthier for you.
And I must add that one of our partners as well is Fry's Vegetarian.
Yes.
So there's a lot of things that you can do with their products.
Amazing
as well.
Amazing stuff.
So definitely great times ahead of us, Sharon and Angie.
No, for sure.
Yeah,
Tozi, thank you so, so very much. I mean, we'd love to get you back on air in a little bit of, a couple of months' time, just to see how this is going and how many people are climbing on board, because, as I say, do it for the animals, but also do it for the environment and your good health. So, Tozi, thank you so very much for all you're doing. Please keep in touch, and we'd like to get some feedback from you in time, and also see how you're progressing, as you say, when you start looking at the domestic animals as well.
I will definitely do so, Sharon. Thank you for
having
me.
Thank you, Tozi. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me, Society International. Hope to keep in touch, definitely.
We definitely will. Thank you, Tozi, and enjoy Cape Town. Say hi to the sea for me.
Do so.
And me.
Thanks, Tozi. Angie, so what is your role in this whole campaign? What are you going to be doing?
Apart from the social media aspect of it and just promoting it, it's also vegetables and about showing and how to grow your vegetable gardens and stuff like that.
Yes.
But also recipes, most importantly. We post, a couple of us celebs post recipes on a weekly basis that are either vegan or vegetarian.
What, on the website or in the Facebook wall?
Yeah, I think they're posted on various platforms, whether it's their Twitter or their Facebook or website. So, and there's incredible recipes on there.
That's fantastic because, let's face it, recipe books these days are quite costly.
No, no.
So if you can get it off, so if the Facebook page, which again, it was, is it Green Monday?
Yes, Green Monday SA.
Have a look. And then that website again, www.greenmonday.co.za.
That's right.
And hopefully the people do it on a Monday and say, well, this is actually very nice. Let's just keep doing it.
I mean, I think the reason why it's also on a Monday is it's a new start in the week.
Yes.
And it's a new page or new leaf that we can turn over. And, you know, we always start our I'm going to do gym on Monday or I'm going to start my diet on Monday. So it's just a good way to start your week off, especially after some heavy weekends that some people may have.
Need to detox a little bit. But you were saying that you've been vegetarian for ages. Now, you are a very well-known actress and model, and I mean, you look amazing. So that should show you how good you can look not eating meat.
Yeah, it takes some work and some creative a creative mindset, but it's not difficult at all, really, but it's just a mindset.
It's not. Yeah, you're quite right, it's a mindset. I think you wouldn't miss it if you, I mean, I admit sometimes I do kind of go, oh, I'd love to have, you know, that bit of look. I've never liked meat, but there are some items like a burger that you kind of go, okay, but
don't
you
feel,
don't,
I mean,
it.
Yeah, or you know, listeners out there shouldn't feel bad if they do have it, but I think it's being aware of what type of meat you're also eating and where does it come from.
Right.
You can go to the shops and it says grain-fed beef.
Mm.
When do cows
eat grain?
Eat grain. They eat grass.
Right.
So it's just, you know,
become aware of a warning sign.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, why they do it, I don't know, ways to plump them up and faster. Mm. Making them grow faster.
Grain,
yeah, it's just wrong. But just, I mean, eat at restaurants that supply organic stuff and support local farmers.
Yes,
you know, then you know the animals are happy as well. So
no, sure. And free range. I mean, I do, you know, that's, I've always said, you know, if you're going to eat chicken, go the free range route. You know, you don't always know if it's is free range. It would be very easy to put free range when it's not.
If it is really, really huge compared to a normal chicken, then chances are it's not free range.
It's not free range.
Unless it's from a farm from, like, I don't know, Timbuktu or something where you can get those really big chickens.
And I think one of the things that really disturbed me as well is that when these poor, poor cows and little calves and pigs are taken to the slaughterhouse, animals are sentient beings. They feel fear.
Oh.
They experience fear, they experience pain, they experience all the same emotions that we experience. And while they're there, they are so scared. They're releasing these, you know, it's adrenaline that's flooding their systems. And then they kill. So those chemicals are still in there. And I don't know.
I saw a video
it's just horrible.
In fact, I just posted a little animation movie on my Twitter page yesterday as well. Just a little thing, a thought-provoking movie. That's 2 minutes long or so. But just on that, I watched another video on when cows act, they register that they get fear when they see the other cows ahead of them about to get slaughtered.
Oh.
So what they do now is they actually emit an electric shock that hits their temples that knocks them out.
Yes.
So they don't see or smell
the
death coming. Yeah. Which is, I don't know.
Oh.
I wouldn't wish that on any animal, yet alone even a human being.
No.
So.
And I just think, I don't know, you know, people have various thoughts. I mean, would you really want to consume something that has died in such a horrible fashion?
Yeah.
With that fear and pain going through its system. It's just, I don't know. That's just me. And I think the way to go is to make a start. You know, we're not saying that, okay, that's it.
Yep.
Cut out all meat. Start by doing it on a Monday, see how it goes, then maybe throw in a Friday as well and see how that goes.
And you know, if you're too scared to just do it, you know, for a whole Monday, then at least do one meal, you know.
Yes.
Just start off baby steps that you're winning and you don't, you know, set yourself a huge goal that you can't stick to.
No, absolutely. And I think the health benefits are huge. Every vegetarian person I've ever met has been so healthy.
Yeah.
They never get sick.
Oh, no, I was never sick as a child. I really, really wasn't. I mean, visits to the doctor were were just because I had to get a checkup just because. Yes. But the doctor was like, oh, the last time you were here was 7 years ago.
No, right, right. No, the benefits are huge, huge, huge. And I think if we can get more people involved, so please, guys, go onto that website, www.greenmonday.co.za. Make the pledge. Do it on a Monday. And, hey, you know, you never know. You might enjoy it so much that you decide to really start looking after yourself and the environment and stop eating meat altogether.
Maybe you want to lose a couple of extra pounds before the December holidays.
Exactly. It's also great for that. It is. But Angie, I'm so delighted we're going to actually be featuring you in the February issue of Canine Zone magazine.
I'm so excited.
The issue coming up, we've got Stevie French. You're going to be in the February issue. We love to do celebrities who love animals and who go out of their way to support shelters and are a voice, you know, for the animals. And I think with yourself being an actress and model, people are inclined to listen to celebrities. Do you find that?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, I think it also matters, regardless of whether you're known or not, that you're a good opinion leader. And to me, that means more than being known. It's you could be known and only a few people really follow what you say. Or you could have a close circle of friends that, if you're a good opinion leader, all of them will follow you in what you're saying.
And you're quite right. So whether that's in your community, in your township or wherever you are, and we've been pushing a lot about, please educate people about fireworks. Don't set off fireworks. Now go out there and educate everybody else. Raise awareness about the damage and just horrendous things that fireworks cause, and don't do it.
Yeah, and I think, but you know, I must say that South Africa is really not behind in conservation projects or rehab projects or campaigns like Green Monday or animal campaigns. We really are. I must, you know, validate and acknowledge South Africa for that, because we're not behind and we do support. And I think maybe that's because we are so privileged in all the animals that we do have, like the Big Five.
We need to protect them.
Yeah, and we're constantly made aware of rehab and conservation and animal campaigns every day, from rhino to dogs. Absolutely. To, I mean, Carte Blanche always, they will always do a feature on something like that, you know?
No, they do. So, you're quite right. I mean, with associations like Ban Animal Trading, who do so much, I think we're on the right track and we're starting to listen. So I'm going to not ask you about your dogs now. Yeah. I think people are going to have to buy the February issue of Canine Zone magazine, the current issue on shelves now, and to find out more about all of Angie's dogs and to see some gorgeous photos in there. Angie, I really thank you for coming in today. Thank you for all you're doing.
Yeah,
it really is a pleasure to have met you. And please, again, as I said to Tozzy, keep us posted.
We'll
get you back in a couple of weeks' time and let's do a follow-up, because I'd love to speak to you both a little bit more about, you know, what's happening in agriculture right now and what we can do to help in any way. So we'll definitely have you back in. But thank you so much for coming through today.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much, Sharon.
Great stuff. We're going to take a short break and listen to one of my favorite bands in the whole world. And we'll be back with Tracy Gilpin from Tears.
Animal Central on cliffcentral.com.
And we're back after that amazing song. I absolutely love Beatenberg. That was their song Scorpion Fish. Now we're going to talk about something that really touched a lot of people this week. We've got Tracy Gilpin on the line from Tears in Cape Town to tell us a bit more. Tracy, are you there?
Yes, I am, Sharon.
Hi, Tracy. How are you this morning?
I'm very well, thank you. And you?
That's good. No, we're all good here. Tracy, you know, what unfolded at Tears on Friday evening, I think, was nothing short of a miracle. Do you want to tell our listeners what exactly happened?
Absolutely. I'd love to share it with them. We, on Friday, we'd been involved. We right up against Masipumalela, where there'd been some unrest. What had happened is one of their community leaders had been arrested for what was suspected of being vigilante justice. And slowly the riots gained momentum. And on Friday afternoon, some of the rioters found footpaths at the bottom of Lekavata Road, which is where our kennels are.
Right.
And they were able to gain access to the road our kennels are in.
Oh.
So at about 2 o'clock, our non-essential staff were evacuated. And then by 8 o'clock, reassessing the situation, we realized as the rioters moved right up Lekavata Road to Komaki Road that our kennels were right in the middle of the riots. Tear gas canisters were being discharged. There were rumors that rioters had gained access to roofs and were firing down on the police. And there were burning tires in our road.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and that's when we decided we could not guarantee the safety of our animals in our kennels. And the only option open to us was to evacuate our entire shelter.
And that consisted of how many dogs?
There were 153 dogs on the premises at the time.
Yes, and then what happened there? I know that I saw the initial post on Facebook. What happened from there?
That's right. Our animal care manager, when the decision was made to evacuate at 8 o'clock, he sent off a Facebook appeal to our supporters and animal lovers in the area to foster a dog if they could, just for the night, to get them out of the danger. And I arrived at the intersection a block up from our shelter just after 8 o'clock. The police had cordoned off the area, so we weren't at first able to get in.
This was 8 o'clock in the evening.
That's right. Yes. So it was already dark and very dramatic scene. Our vet had pulled up with some of our other staff, and I literally jumped in a car with a Tears volunteer, Chris, who I'd never met before.
Yes.
It's the only time I've ever jumped into a car with a strange man. And off we went past the police blockade, and we had no idea what we would drive into as we turned into Lekavata Road. The rioters had been pushed back to the bottom of the road and tires were burning, but our entrance was open at that time. So we all scooted into our entrance, facing outward if we needed to make a quick getaway.
Right.
And literally in the pitch darkness, we started to first evacuate puppies and our hospital patients because we had patients who'd had surgery just hours before.
Oh, my word.
And myself and Chris, who I'd never met before, got a puppy carload of puppies.
Yes.
And back we went up to the Capri intersection. And as we pulled up, there was a whole crowd had gathered of what I thought were onlookers. And I leapt out of the car with a puppy in my arms and ran towards the crowd and said, is there anybody here who can foster a Tears dog for the night?
Yes.
And the whole crowd surged towards me saying, yes, I can.
Gosh, so these were all volunteers who had heard the call on Facebook and had come out to help.
That's right. People who obviously thought of themselves as animal lovers because that's what we asked for.
Yes, yes. And so all the dogs were then evacuated out of the kennels and there were enough people to take all of them.
There were actually a few humans left over.
Without a dog.
Our CEO had to just explain that we had enough foster homes for that night. So it was wonderful.
Tracy, that is amazing. I mean, as I said, I followed this on Facebook and I thought, I wonder how many would step up to the plate. And then someone had posted that there was a convoy of cars. People were coming to collect these dogs and take them back home. Which is that is a miracle. That is a movie in the making.
It is. And it was every bit as dramatic, too.
Yes. And then, I mean, it followed on where you were keeping people updated and you asked for these people that I'm sure you didn't know who they were to post pictures of the dogs, which ended up with these amazing pictures of these dogs in beds and on couches and being royally spoilt.
Absolutely. It was quite surreal because, you know, many of our dogs have been waiting for homes for months. Mm. And we were very careful before we handed any of our dogs over to take people's details.
Sure.
We also had our full-time behaviorist, Helen Baston, who was doing very quick 30-second, one-minute interviews with people, asking them what dogs they had at home, which dogs they were comfortable with, because we had little wire-haired terriers all the way through to a huge Bourbon called Damien.
Right.
And everything in between, including several of our wonderful pit bulls. So we had to make sure that we were in 30 seconds to a minute, relatively sure.
Doing
that
a quick home check. Yes.
Exactly.
Right. Now, that must have been scary, but I'm sure when people come out to do that, you know they're good people.
Absolutely. People were risking their own safety to get into Lekkerwater then. And I think the police got quite annoyed with us because suddenly there was a huge amount of activity in the road outside.
Yes.
And eventually they said, okay, you allowed 10 cars down this road at any given time and no more. So that was the overwhelming response.
Goodness me. And now you said 153 that all went. I'm sure some people took two dogs or more. And I think if people want to really get the gist of the story, they really need to go onto your Facebook wall, Tears, to see these photos. I think the photos are what did it for me, that these dogs, as you said, have been sitting in the shelter for, some of them quite a while. And now suddenly they're going home, and pictures, as I said, of them in a bed with a child and playing ball and being taken to the beach. It was just so heartwarming, Tracy. And the good news that you told me yesterday is that a lot of these dogs are not coming back to the shelters. To the shelter, these people are keeping them.
That's right. 22 so far. So that was 22 adoptions in about 48 hours.
Goodness.
Of people who just fell in love.
That's a record. It must be a record.
Absolutely. And our dogs got on beautifully with their dogs, if they had, and just fitted in beautifully. And as you say, those pictures really do speak 1,000 words.
Well, I don't know how you would if the dog is there and settled in, and it's how could you possibly take it back, I guess?
Absolutely.
And Tracy, are you still on lockdown there? So the dogs are still with the foster parents, even those who are going to return them?
Yes, they are. We're in a difficult situation at the moment. There was a bail hearing of the community leader in Simonstown Court on Monday. He was meant to be either given bail or not. And the bail hearing was postponed towards the end of the week. And they were expecting more violence if he wasn't released.
No.
So we're waiting for the end of the week to see what happens. And then we're hoping to be able to bring our dogs back.
And these wonderful animal angels, they're quite happy to keep the dogs as
long
as you need.
This has been absolutely amazing. You know, we sort of expected that people would get quite upset if we had to say to them, but we have been careful. If people are traveling or they really can't keep our dogs in a temporary foster situation, we've said to them, please let us know.
Yes.
Our behaviorist and kennel staff are in touch with our foster families on a daily basis. And we also are appealing to people to be put on a list if they are able to foster any of our dogs, in case we do need another few days and other people can't hang on to them.
Right, right. But, I mean, I'm just hoping that, how many did you say, 153? I'm hoping that you end up with empty kennels.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
That all 153 are adopted. And what we're going to do is, I spoke to Tracy yesterday, we are going to devote our February issue of Canine Zone to this amazing event. We believe that this deserves full coverage. So we're working closely with Tracy to do the whole story and then to also do interviews with the families who took these dogs in and have decided to keep them permanently, because I think this would make such an amazing story. It really, really would, Tracy. Now, how can people...
Very excited about it.
Oh, it's going to be incredible. I think it's, as I said, it's almost like a movie script that this happened.
It is.
Tracy, people who are listening, I mean, Tears, you always were saying earlier that shelters always need help. What help do you need right now, and what can people do to help?
I think if people could go onto our Facebook page and join our potential foster group, and we obviously, once we're back in, we'll need the usual things that we need, which is blankets and food. And obviously, our lifeblood is monetary donations.
Right, right. No, absolutely. And you guys do so much for our animals. As do, I mean, the shelters, you know, and the people that I've spoken to and brought onto the radio show and featured in the magazines, they just, I don't know, I bless them all because they do things that, as you said earlier, they put their own lives at risk.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful community. You know, as you said earlier, there are so many sad stories. And when you see the level and extent of the suffering, it can be overwhelming. But
yes.
Then something like this happens and you realize, you know, animal care staff don't work in isolation in the shelters. We are so dependent on our local and extended communities. And we saw that on Friday. That, you know, Tears isn't 50 odd employees. You know, it's hundreds and thousands of volunteers
yes.
and supporters who really are committed and were willing to put their own safety at risk
right.
for our dogs. And that just is so encouraging. It's wonderful.
It is. It's a miracle. It is encouraging. And I think, as you said, it shows us that although there's a lot of bad and a lot of abuse and cruelty going on, there's also a lot of good and a lot of people out there who are saying, we want to help. We want to help our animals. So, Tracy, please keep, well, I know we'll certainly be speaking and keeping in touch. I will give updates on the next Animal Central as well. And again, if you want to get hold of Tracy, please go to their Facebook wall. In fact, do yourself a favor, go on the wall, have a look at those pictures. I promise mm-hmm, you mm. it will put such a broad smile on your face. It really, really
Absolutely.
Will. Mm. And Tracy, any websites or anything like that?
Yes, our website is www.tears.org.za, and we will keep regularly, we literally on a daily basis giving updates on Twitter, Facebook, and our website.
Fantastic. Tracy, thank you again. And yes, let's hope the next figure we get is higher than the, what did you say, 22? It's going to grow steadily. Watch this space.
Wonderful. Thanks
Tracy,
so much,
Tracy, thanks
Sharon.
Again. We'll chat soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that's our show for this week. It's gone in an absolute blink of an eye again. Now, next week, as you know, I have decided to do shows every second week due to my commitments on Canine Zone magazine and the other things that I'm getting involved with to help animals. I will be here every second week. Next week, Ainsley Hay will be taking on the show. She's got some wonderful guests organized, and I hope you give her all the support and encouragement because she really is a wonderful person. And with her background at the NSPCA Wildlife Division, Ainsley comes with so much knowledge about our wildlife. Until next week, well, the week after next Wednesday, I'll be back with some more interesting guests. And in the meantime, go out there and give all your pets a big hug from me. Bye for now.
Animal Central on cliffcentral.com.